With you all again this morning, the beautiful Lord's Day morning, very much of a fall morning. I really appreciate what we've heard thus far in the discussion. I appreciate that last song, "Firmly Stand." You know, and it's not in our own might that we can firmly stand. We should firmly stand, but in the strength of the Lord. And also, the songs that we sang this morning were "Marching to Zion." And the second song, if I can remember it, they're "A Building for Eternity." You know, that should be the main focus. That should be our main goal in life. If you want to turn with me to Joel this morning, I'd like to read a couple verses from there. And Joel's one of the minor prophets that we don't hear too much about, don't know, don't really have, there's not a lot of history. But the verse that stood out to me in Joel, chapter 3, verse 14, says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." And I looked up decision, and I believe this is the only place the word decision is found in the King James Version. It's found two times in this verse. The day of the Lord, that last great day, the day that God will decide about men, not the day when men decide about God. You had to think of that song that talks about standing in Pilate's hall. Pilate was making a decision there about Jesus. You know, what is your decision? What is my decision? And looking back in Joel, probably one of the verses that we'd know, be more familiar with is in Joel chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. You know, this is the heart that God wants. This is the only heart that will be prepared for that great day of the Lord. I just got a message last night that the boy I talked about last Sunday, his funeral was yesterday. He passed away on Thursday. If you think about it, you can pray for that family. But that, you know, that great day came for him on last Thursday. And yesterday, looking at there at the, being in there at the farm show, all the people, you know, the multitudes of people. And there were a lot of decisions being made. And I had to think there's probably a lot of spur-of-the-moment decisions being made. A lot of things on display that people really didn't need, really didn't know they needed when they came in, but probably thought they did. Couldn't live without when they left, before they left. So I'm sure there were lots that came just to gain information, and it was time well spent. But, you know, when it comes to decisions about our soul, it's not a here nor there. Decisions that will affect our standing on that great day. Now, thankfully, we are living in this new dispensation. We're living, I think, we're in the day that Joel was prophesying about in verse 28 there of Joel, chapter 2. It says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, yet your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in that Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." It says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." And the heart, again, the heart that he wants there was the hearts of the hearts that were rent. You know, it was not. I don't think he's saying it's not necessary to fast, but he's saying what's really important is that it's from the heart, and to turn to the Lord, making him the most, making that the most important thing of our lives. That's what God wants, a complete giving up of our own selfish desires and pursuits. Jesus said John chapter 12, verse 44, he said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Again, bringing in that word, that day. "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." And Jesus, it says he cried and said, you had to wonder what kind of expression, what kind of, when it says Jesus cried and said, well, you know, if we could have, I'd just love to see that expression or the way he said these words to these chief rulers. Here, and what brought him to this point, it says, chief rulers also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And it says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So what is most important to you and I today? Is it what men think or what God thinks? Are we more fearful of what others think than what God thinks? What is important? It says the chief rulers believed, but they were fearful of the Pharisees, so they would not speak out for Christ. Luke 9:25 says, "For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. I like that verse that Brother Matt read this morning there in Timothy. He says, "For I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Paul said, "It's not. I'm not ashamed of it." So again, thinking of the multitudes in the valley of decision. You know, we're all facing decisions. We face decisions every day. What decision makes me decide what I do? And do we think of it in the light of what men think? Do we think of it in the light of what I want? Do we think of it, or do we think of what God wants? What is important? What's really going to, how does it affect our eternal destiny, that great day? Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Now, do I see my own weaknesses and the need for accountability, for fellowship, the need for the brotherhood, and, you know, the difficulty of following Jesus' commands without the brotherhood? It's not a one-way street. It means submitting to the brotherhood, sensing a need for each other. It's not just what I say, but it's a working together, a giving and taking. Now, some questions I think we should ask ourselves, especially in the times of big decisions. You know, the decisions you make today, how will they affect you in that day? That day that Jesus talks about, that day that Joel talked about there. You know, how will those decisions you're making, how will they affect those you love and those that are looking up to you? You know, there are things that in themselves may not be an issue, but our attitude and a willingness to work together may have lasting consequences. I'd like to read a few verses yet out of Revelation 21, verse 3, the very familiar verses. It says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." You know, the key there is in verse 7. It says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." You know, that is, I think, as we look at the decisions we make, which direction does it take us? Where is it taking us, where we want to go? How will it affect us? So I just leave it that challenge with us. Let's be mindful of the decisions we make today. And be careful of what crowd, what multitude we find ourselves with. You know, is it where the most people are, or is it what's most important, to be where God wants us to be? Let's kneel for prayer.